My time in Thailand, I did used to be a wrestler, and I did show up with a lot of muscles. In fact, I had such a big chest when I used to walk on my hands and do yoga and all this with the monks, and I had such a big chest, such big pectoral muscles. The lay people thought I was a nun at first. And so I was really strong, but I was also really obsessed with competition and with winning. And so the same kind of obsession that had put me into wrestling and put me into academics, and, you know, I just redirected that to meditation. And after a while, I was, you know, it wasn't enough after Ajahn Sumedho went to England the Westerners were Bung Wai. I started thinking, oh, we're talking too much. I need to go and really not talk and just practice more. There's a lot of wrong view there, but anyway, that's the way I was. And so I went off to stay at a monastery that was known for being very strict. And I got really sick there and had diarrhea for 6 months. Then I got bit by a centipede, and then I started urinating blood, and then got sent to a hospital. And there's a story there I could tell, but there's one in particular that I want to tell you. But through that particular sickness, Ajahn Chah encouraged me. But then I didn't know it, but I had lost 20-30 pounds. I was probably already had typhoid in my blood, and I was just getting ready to get really sick. I didn't know at the time yet, but I went into a depression, really deep depression. And I think it was starting to dawn on me that there was, that my, you know, the wrestling tournament when your hand is raised up, or the scholarship when you win the award, that in meditation it didn't really work that way, at least not for me. And I went into a black space. And as I sat on the asana on the platform, you know, you just look up the line and there's a row of bald heads. You look down the line, there's another row of bald heads, and you're just another bald head. And this, you know, something in us, it wants to be so different and so special and the best, and was just dying. And plus I was sick at the time too. And I just come out of a nightmare experience in a hospital, and I knew I needed help, and so I asked Ajahn Prabhakaro Joseph, who was the abbot. I said, I need to talk to Ajahn Chah. Can you help me? And so Prabhakaro took me over to see Ajahn Chah. And I went to Ajahn Chah and told him that I felt I was in such a black space. I felt I would never smile again. I felt that. I felt that it was just so dark. And Prabhakaro translated, and Ajahn Chah started asking me some questions. And so I told him about, you know, my past and all the wrestling and the competition and stuff. And then he told two stories that I wanted to share with you, that to me is something about how he treated me at least, and whether it was applies to other Westerners, I don't know. But the first story, they're all about animals. My first meeting, you saw, he compared me to a dog. Well, this time he said, Kitty Salo, he used to say Kitty Salo. He says, you remind me of a chipmunk. And Prabhakaro said, he's a chipmunk. A chipmunk or a squirrel or something. So you remind me of a chipmunk, okay. And this baby chipmunk's mother could, it was one of these kind of chipmunks that could climb up a tree and leap to a branch and do all sorts of fancy acrobatics, and was really adept and at ease in the tree. And the baby saw the mom and said, why not? And went up there and leaped. And then Ajahn Chah said, dog. And Ajahn Chah was sitting on his wicker chair, and I was down on the floor below him, and Papakwa said, "Dok," said, which means to fall. My Thai knew that much, to fall down. So this chipmunk fell down and started crying, and the mother said, "Son, you need to go to school." And so went to kindergarten, started picking up some training, could climb a tree, could jump to a branch, and then dog. And mother said, "You gotta keep studying, son." So Ajahn Chah had this chipmunk going to first grade, second grade, dog. And when you do that, it's like his eyes would go around in a circle, and this kind of chipmunk is rolling like that. I don't know how far we got, but somewhere in high school, I was rolling on the floor of Ajahn Chah's hut in hysterical laughter, just rolling around, and then I keep getting dog. I'm telling you, Ajahn Chah had this chipmunk getting a PhD. And then chipmunk had a PhD. I was able to sit up. And then he looked right at me and he said, "And one day the chipmunk could do everything its mother could do." And this warm feeling, this wonderful feeling. And I think some have talked about this transmission of you can do it. But just, you know, do the work, do the study that Jack was talking about. The schooling is this body-mind, you know, and that we're going to fall down, and can we somehow laugh at the falling down? And then he told this other story that just didn't seem to fit. I was basking in that, and then he says, "You remind me of a donkey." I don't think I'm just now trying to open to this donkey story. And he says, "You're like this donkey that heard the crickets singing and thought, gee, that's beautiful. I'm going to do that." I'm happy to say this was an intelligent donkey. Because this donkey, being diligent, investigated and found out through hard work that crickets drink lots of dewdrops. And so this donkey went around licking up hundreds and thousands of dewdrops. And then it prepared itself to hear the wonderful sound. And then, you know, when it opened its mouth, what came out? And I thought, why did he tell me that story? And all I can say is I'm just beginning to get the hint. You know, that somewhere in there we have to learn to be what we are. And that we're always, sometimes our striving comes out of self-aversion, that, you know, we have to be better. And there is work to do. There's no doubt there is study to do. But there is something about honoring and listening to our own sound. And some of what we've heard, some of the people that have been touched here by this man, Ajahn Chah, was that he did love us unconditionally. He could hear our sound. He knew our sound. Didn't mean to say he didn't encourage us to keep working. And I realize there's something very important about honoring what we are, and that in a natural unfolding, this path unfolds according to the law, and that chipmunk can do everything its mother can do because it's the law. That's what we become. But it's not a question of becoming something that we aren't. So I offer those stories. Thank you.